Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, Lincoln Riley is leaving Oklahoma to become the new USC head football coach. Riley turned Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray into Heisman winners and number one overall picks during his tenure with the Sooners. And in a statement, he said, quote, "Leaving OU was probably the most difficult decision of my life. This was a personal decision solely based on my willingness to go take on a new challenge." I am still reacting to this news. Shannon, what is your reaction to the hire?
Skip, you remember that blank check that Mike Tomlin said would never be big enough?
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln Riley just accepted it. Now, Mel Tucker got 10 years, $95 million fully guaranteed with no Big Ten titles and no college football playoffs on his resume. What do you think those boosters at USC wrote? 10 for 120? 10 for 130? To get him to leave an ideal situation? Now, he had just redid the deal, what, last year, 2 years ago? So he had major years left. Probably paying him $6.5-7 million to uproot what he started to build on with Bob Stoops. And the Oklahoma was a preeminent program, but they weren't getting, Bob Stoops wasn't able to get them over the hump anymore, Skip. They weren't being able to get to the playoffs and contend for national titles. And this kid coming in with that young, with his, call him a kid, he's younger than I am, but this young man coming out with his genius mind, Skip, this was box office. I don't know who people thought USC, they say, well, Mike Tomlin, y'all, Skip, this is big. I mean, this is huge. Now, every quarterback and receiver wants to play because you know what he's going to do? He's going to throw the football. That's why Alabama couldn't get five-star quarterbacks. Skip, why? Because I ain't going to Alabama to turn around and hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara and all those guys. I want to throw it. Now they get four and five-star recruits because they throw the football. USC struck gold with this one, and I can't thank Lincoln Riley. Link. Welcome to L.A., bro. If you need anything, hit your boy up.
So, I was born into the University of Oklahoma football tradition. It's in my blood. My grandfather took me to our first game when I was 5 years of age. And I know it inside and out because I've been friends with three of the coaches, Barry Switzer and Gary Gibbs and John Blake, all close friends of mine. So, I know what I'm speaking of here. And I am livid about what Lincoln Riley has done to this program over the last month or so, because instead of game planning for the crucial games down the stretch when I thought we had a real shot at being in the playoffs this year, apparently he was, by all accounts, negotiating with LSU number one, because it seemed to go back and forth and back and forth. And then he said Saturday night, "I am not taking the LSU job," when he knew full well what was about to happen. He was about to take the USC job.
Well, that was the question to ask him.
Very interesting. They didn't ask him the right question because nobody knew. And all of a sudden, USC had gone very cold and dark because they were supposed to be in the market for a coach. Well, they've been negotiating with
Old Link,
as you call it, Lincoln Riley. And it was funny that the statements made by the USC AD and president indicated that they knew his wife and his kids. Yeah, I'm sure that under cover of night, they've been flying out to USC to get to know the people, because you have to get to know who's in charge.
You got to sell mama, Skip. You got to sell the wife.
You got to figure it out. Yeah. You got to meet all the people. You need to know who's my AD and who's my president. Can I get along with them? Are they going to support me? Are they going to support the football program? This just didn't happen yesterday morning.
Whoa, Skip, hold on.
You got to research the situation. You got to see if the cupboard's bare. You got to see what's left there. You got to start to figure out. Who can I take with me? Will any of my quarterbacks go with me?
Defensive coordinator, offensive line coach, wide receiver coach, strength and conditioning.
They're all going.
Now, I know this is not the Oklahoma. Jenny, and people at home.
I think you're talking to me.
I am. I'm talking to people at home.
I'm also part of this conversation.
Hold on, Skip. Let me ask you a question. Is this the same? Hold on. Jenny, I got it. My bad. Jenny, we good.
Yeah.
Is this the same OU that was negotiating with the SEC to leave the Big 12 in the dead of night, Skip?
It wasn't in the dead of night.
So did they tell the Big 12? Did they tell the Big 12? himself.
And thank you for bringing that up, mm-hmm. because Lincoln Riley just chickened out. Because he said he was the one who said, I ain't going to no SEC, because what have we seen over the last three times they've been in the playoffs? What have we seen? Help me out here, Mr. Sharp.
Y'all underperformed.
2017. Oh, we had the Heisman Trophy winner in Baker Mayfield. We had, mm-hmm. a lot of people thought, the best offense in the land. We had the 68th ranked defense. And what happened when we ran into Georgia in the semifinal? We didn't just lose. We lost 54-48. And we gave up 527 yards offense because I kept telling you, sitting right here, that is one of the all-time worst defenses for a good team I have ever seen in the history of college football, because Lincoln Riley does not care about defense. And USC last year was dead last in the Pac-12 in defensive points allowed.
Right.
So good luck. I want all those USC faithful out there to realize that you just got the no defenses coaching coach that you've ever had there. He's going to come in and you're going to go nowhere fast on defense. You better start winning some 55-54.
Let me ask you a question. How good was your defense before he got there?
Okay, how about this? Let's go to the second year, 2018. Oh, another Heisman Trophy winner, yes. Kyler Murray, really?
Uh-huh.
We ranked 101st in points allowed in the country. 101st in defense, and we go up against Alabama. You say, I got this. Yeah, you got this, because Kyler's going to do what Kyler did, and we lost 45-34, and Alabama rolled up 528 yards, okay. Another SEC team. And then here we go again with the near Heisman Trophy winner and Jalen Hurts. He finished second, and we make it to the national semifinal against LSU, another SEC team, and it's 63-28 as LSU rolls up 692 yards because we had the 64th worst defense in college football.
Hold on.
64th?
But here's the thing, though. What was your defense before Lincoln got there?
Well, how far back can I go? Can I go to 1985?
And let me ask you a question.
Can I go to Brian Bosworth? Can I go to the Selmans?
Okay, so
can I do that?
You got to go.
I mean, once upon a time, we owned defense.
You did.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. In the last 10 mm-hmm. years before Lincoln got there, how was your offense?
Huh.
How many times did you play for the college? Okay. Could you play for the championship?
Yeah. Well, we won the championship under Bob Stoops in his, what,
that was 1999.
Year. Okay, well, we won it.
That's almost 20 plus years ago.
Josh Heupel at quarterback. Okay. Maybe he's going to come back and save us.
Oh, do you remember what USC did to you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Which time?
Okay,
I can go way back.
Thank
I'm going
you.
Back to Pat Aiden at the Coliseum.
No.
You want
to
talk about that game in 74? I know all about it.
Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Lindell White. Right. Go 55.
They named the score. Yep, they named the score.
You had, guess what you had, Skip? You had the Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay, so here's Lincoln Riley, and he looks back at, I played three national semifinals, and I give up 54, 45, and 63. I want no part of this. I want to stay here in the Big 12 where I can get away with one of the worst big game defenses in the land in the Big 12. I can get away with it because I can, maybe I'll lose to Kansas State at home as they did last year. Maybe I'll lose at Iowa State as they did last year, but I still got a shot here, right?
Whoa.
Yeah. Was he game planning for Baylor? No, I guess not. I guess he was negotiating with USC. Was he game planning for Oklahoma State? I guess not. He was getting ready to go.
So what was OSU doing? OU.
Mm.
Were you negotiating with the SEC instead of the Big 12?
I don't know.
You do know. So the Big 12, the commissioner said they were caught totally off guard.
Yeah.
That's what they said. Not just a lie. They told it.
Yeah.
So you getting to see, you see how you deal with that institution. As long as the institutions can do what's best for them, that's fine.
Well,
but the moment a coach or a player does what's best for them, now how could you do what's like this?
The future of college football is in the SEC into a super conference. Got to go. Got to have the guts. Can't be a coward.
Hey.
Can't chicken out.
$120+ million in my bank account.
I got to go to the Pac-12.
I don't blame him.
I got to go to
You got $120 million?
Yeah, good luck with the defense.
Do you got $120 million?
He even took his coordinator, Alex Grinch, with him. The Grinch who stole football.
Let me ask you a question.
Stole defense.
All I know is I see a lot of five-star recruits decommitting from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with you in the SEC with those three stars. You're going to be Vanderbilt.
All I care about is...
You're going to be Missouri.
Yeah, want to bet on that?
You bet. You want to bet?
Want to bet on Vanderbilt?
If you... Vanderbilt, just first of all, if you don't get Georgia, if you don't get Alabama, that's why they're in the SEC championship. Maybe you skip. There's a reason.
Yeah, their defense.
And you're not in.
Caleb Williams is the reason.
Was awful, son, Saturday.
Caleb Williams is awful? Did you watch the game? He threw up 200. 104 yards in the first half and three touchdowns. He made three plays down the stretch that were spectacular. Are you kidding me?
Let me ask you a question.
Did you even watch? You didn't turn it on.
When did the game the first half? What did he do in the second half?
If Caleb Williams goes with him to USC, then you got
him. No, I don't want him to go. Yeah. We don't want him.
Well, he never liked
him. All I know is their feelings are a bit hurt today, and all my USC fans are very excited and happy.
Let's go, Link.
And I am, for one, happy for Lingan to see what he can do.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
This week on Thursday Night Football, Dak Prescott and the NFC East leading Cowboys take on the Saints. It all kicks off at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video. Well, it was a rough afternoon for the Panthers as they lost 33-10 to the Dolphins. It was an even rougher day for Cam Newton as he went 5 of 21 on his pass attempts with two interceptions, and the former MVP found himself on the bench in the fourth quarter. So, Shannon, how big of a blow was this to Cam's future in Carolina?
I don't think it's that big of a blow, Skip. Look, I stand by. I thought Cam was good enough to start for the Patriots for the first couple of games of the season and then hand off to Mac Jones. But I think people are still evaluating Cam by 2015. He's never going to be that again. He had shown no signs in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019 that he was ever going to be that guy again. So I think it's unrealistic for us to ask him to be that player. Cam is a middle-of-the-road quarterback now. That's what he is, Skip. I like Cam. But Cam is a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Cam is not a guy that's going to lead you to a Super Bowl. That's just the fact of the matter. That's just what it is. And I think people need to come to that realization. You can like someone, but be realistic in your thought process to say, this is who and this is what he is at this point in time in his career. He deserved to be benched. He was not playing well. And in a two-minute set, when he just got there 2 weeks ago, P.J. Walker, who's been there, over half of last year, all of this year, who understands this system.
He played for Rule at Temple.
Right, so he understands this system, Skip. So it was better. Yep. If you're going to go no huddle with someone as opposed to trying to have someone ad-lib it on the way. Now, maybe with another week up on his belt, I think they're on the bye week, and then he'll get an extra week of this system. But Cam deserved to be benched. Cam was playing awful yesterday. And I don't know who thought Cam would just... Cam is not to the point now. Skip, I'm not so sure any quarterback. I believe if Patrick Mahomes, even Tom Brady, is playing that bad, that's when B.A. said, you know what, guy, come on. The day ain't your, Skip. Because we remember Tom in Kansas City, Skip, that Monday night. Coach Belichick said, come on. You ain't got it tonight. That's okay. We're going to live to fight another day.
Well, that was on to Cincinnati.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, he pulled him. Did Castle get in that game? But somebody came in there. And Garoppolo? Garoppolo relieved him in that game, Skip. Hey, we don't have it today. We'll live to see another day. But, Skip, at the end of the day, they're going to have to. I still believe Deshaun Watson's going to be in playoff season. Well, let's just see what happens, Skip, as how this thing finishes out. But Cam is what I thought he would be. I thought he could be serviceable. I don't think Cam can lead a team to a championship anymore. And right now, Cam is a middle-of-the-road quarterback. That's what he is. And anybody that thinks he's more than that, they're fooling themselves.
Okay. I hope you are correct about everything you just said. To me, this just felt bad. This shook me up because I root for him. I was fully supportive him being the number one pick in the draft because he had gone to Blinn Junior College and won a championship, and he went to Auburn and won a championship. And he got to a Super Bowl, and he ran into a buzzsaw named Von Miller and your Broncos, and he had a bad night. But it was more like Von had a great night.
Right.
And since then, to your point, it's gone a little down. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, I wasn't watching this game as my first view, but I kept flipping over to it.
Right.
It seemed like every time I flipped, I got a bad play, play.
I'm like, how every time I turn to watch the game, they got the ball and something bad is happening to Cam? It's like, I said, then I just gave up because I was like, look, this is over. Ooh. I'm good. I'm moving on to another game.
So 5 of 21 was the worst completion percentage for any MVP ever in his career.
Yeah.
Because it just would be.
Right.
It's just hard to be that bad.
But that's what he's up against, Skip, because guess what? Every time he walks on the field, what is he? A former MVP. If Colt McCoy does this, if Chase Daniel does this, if one of these other guys, Skip, that's been a starter at some point in time, but have never had that kind of resume,
yep,
it's not a problem. But Cam Newton is a former MVP, and you address him, that's what he comes to the table with. Former MVP Cam Newton was 5 of 21. No other former MVP has ever had a worse completion percentage.
Yep. So we saw Cam step in his first game and get to run those two plays for touchdowns. And then in the second game,
he played well.
He played very well. And after the touchdown he ran for, he took the football and ran all the way to the logo and slammed it down and again yelled, "I am back." And I thought, fire up the fairy tale. Here we go. And I thought they will take off down the stretch. And I figured because he's beaten Tom Brady twice, he's 2-0 against Brady.
Right.
I thought two of those last three games, remember, it's the Bucs finish at Carolina and then Jets and then Carolina
comes
home.
There.
So it's two of the last three. And I thought maybe Cam's going Brady in one of those games. And that was so horrendously bad that I promise you the powers that be, that owner in Carolina and that coach in Carolina, are rethinking the fairy tale.
Well,
because
it
saved them from a PR nightmare with Sam Darnold, and it's like, oh, we got Cam back.
Well,
right?
Skip, he said he was back, meaning he was back in the NFL. If Cam thought he was going to be 2015 Cam all over again, that's not happening.
No.
Skip, when have you ever seen a guy in any sport be a former MVP, have the kind of career that his career seems to be preening down, going downhill, snap back? It doesn't happen.
No.
Skip, I've never seen
unless you go home and it just feels right again,
right,
and you just pick right back
right
up where you left off. But it didn't feel like that yesterday.
Like, we saw Randall. Skip, remember Randall with the Eagles?
Yep.
He took some time off. He came back, had a rebirth with Minnesota.
He did.
But to think Cam is going to be what Cam once was in 2015, I mean, are we delusional? Or is that what we really want to happen? Even though we know against our better judgment it's not going to happen, is it because we like happen or we want to, because we feel Cam was wronged in Carolina,
yeah,
was wronged in New England, that we want that to happen even though against our better senses and intuition,
yeah,
we know that's not possible?
Yeah. By the way, you should have seen Randall Cunningham in the Super Bowl that year, right?
No.
You got it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Remember the kicker missed the kick?
He had made 40 straight.
I know.
And
okay. So I've thought all along that Tepper and Rhule want to go big game hunting after the year's over. Whoever's on the market, we don't know.
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers,
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Somebody, whoever comes available,
right.
Garoppolo even,
right,
maybe. That they would say, let's go try that.
Oh, even if Cam was playing good, if I get a chance to get one of those guys, I'm moving on from Cam.
But if he's playing great, you'd have some second thoughts. Like,
Skip,
maybe we should just stay the course here and go into next year and see if we can just keep on keeping on.
But Deshaun Watson will be 26, 27. I understand he has issues. He gets those issues resolved.
Yeah.
Okay, boom, we move on. Russell Wilson? You're not taking Russell Wilson over Cam?
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though I might not have Aaron Rodgers, but for 3 years, you're taking Aaron Rodgers for those 3 years over Cam.
You would. Okay, which begs the question, if they go in, because you're not going to keep Cam as your backup. I don't think
so. No, I don't see how you can do that.
Okay,
you can do that.
Then what happens to Cam? If they say no to Cam, will anybody say yes to him going forward?
Well, Skip, he might be entering a market where that's where he is.
Yeah.
You know, Skip, look, it's like when I was growing up, Skip, we wasn't on the market for a new car. We was on the market for what we call secondhand. You know,
yeah,
secondhand, something somebody else has had. Somebody else might have had it before them.
So was I.
Hey, okay.
Yep.
So we weren't on the market for a new car. We was on the market for a secondhand car.
Yep.
Well, Cam Newton might be on the market for a backup quarterback,
mm-hmm,
job. He might not be no longer a market for a starting quarterback. So I understand, Skip. Look, when you become a starter,
I just don't think anybody's going to want Cam as a backup. His personality is too big, and they won't trust it.
Right.
It'll be like he'll make waves. He'll want to play.
Well, Skip,
that's who he is and what he does.
Skip, when you play, when you're going to be making as little money,
yeah,
as Cam's going to be making, that's why AB can't make no waves.
Yeah.
He ain't making no money. Cam ain't going to be able to make no waves because he's not going to be making money. Nobody's going to give you $12, $14, $15 million to be no backup.
Right now, AB's not making any catches because he's not there.
He's injured, but I'm saying he understands that where I am in my career, Skip, I can't make any waves. Cam was half the season, was out of the league at this point, and Cam has never made waves, so I don't expect him to make waves now.
Yep.
But that might be where he is in his career as a backup. And I know no one wants to see themselves as that, Skip, when you've been a starter and had the level of success that he's had.
Okay.
It's hard to digest that. Trust me.
Well, they say he's still going to be the starter through the bye week, so maybe he's got some chances to redeem himself.
Who they play coming out the bye week?
I don't know. I didn't look.
I didn't either. But he's going to, Skip.
Probably a division game.
Can he play worse than what he played yesterday?
No.
I don't believe he can, Skip.
I don't think anybody can.
But the thing was, Skip, maybe we put too much into Arizona because we saw the rush touchdown, the pass touchdown, and everybody like, yeah, Cam. And he did play well last week, Skip. He just didn't get it done in the final minutes. And then this performance, this came out of nowhere, Skip. I would have never guessed Cam would play this bad.
And remember, Brian Flores has been speaking of buzzsaws, his team in November, December, January in Miami since he's been there is 16-7. So they get it going late, and they got it going now.
I don't want to say nothing, but Tua looking good, ain't he?
Is he?
No, I don't know. Tell me.
Is it that defense?
Don't do that, Skip. So now it's the defense now. No mercy.
After being suspended earlier in the week, LeBron received a $15,000 fine for an obscene gesture he did against the Pacers. The NBA League office also warned him about using profanity on the court. So, Shannon, it's not funny. I shouldn't laugh when I'm watching that back. How surprising was this?
Well, I'm not surprised about the gesture, Skip. We know certain gestures, the throat slash and those things of that nature, that gesture right there to say,
well, is that in the same realm as
I think they label that obscene. And I think the thing is for the kids. And
it used to be done routinely.
Exactly.
Like Eddie House would do.
Sam Cassell started it.
He did.
I think the NBA is like, okay, enough of this. We're trying to clean it up. We're in the entertainment. People are bringing their kids there. I'm sure the kids are turning to their dad and their mom and asking, what does that mean? And, you know, parents don't want to have to offer an explanation to what that actually means. So I get that $15,000 fine. Now, Skip, I don't know if they're talking about him cursing during the press conference after the game when he said he was fine. That's bull jive.
I think that.
Because
he also did an interview with ESPN, and he went on and had some F-bombs.
You're right.
Were directed at the league.
And I think the league is more upset about directing those comments at the league.
Correct.
Than per se what he actually said.
Yeah.
But if LeBron go ahead and say bull jive, it has the same meaning because everybody know we're talking about bull flitters.
Mm-hmm.
So LeBron, they trying to get some of your money back. Don't give them any of that money back, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell them next time they want you to do something, it's going to cost them a little extra. But for me, Skip, look, I get it. He was upset, and he cursed on the court when he was pointed right here. He was talking about the fan right here. This, you know what, right here.
Yeah.
So for me, Skip, I get it. I get the league. It's like, look, we're entertainment business. Kids are watching, and kids are listening to everything these superstars play. Let's try to clean it up a little bit. But I don't have a problem with them finding with the gesture. And I think LeBron understands, like, you know what? I wouldn't want someone cursing in front of my kids. I'm going to clean up a little bit. But they're trying to assert. Well, everybody's saying that LeBron got a pass. If that would have been anybody else, he'd got suspended 3 or 4 games. So now, Skip, you know, every chance they get, they try to slap him on the hand. Like, don't do that, LeBron. Don't do that.
Well, you were shocked they suspended him 1 game.
I was.
Okay. I was shocked by both this, the reprimand number one.
The public reprimand.
Yes. And the fine for the celebration. Mm-hmm. But I believe that this commissioner, even though LeBron, we can say he's on the downside, but he's still the face of this league.
Right.
And I think the commissioner finally sat back and said, I'm not going to let even you get away with either of these things because they're directed at us.
Right.
It was the game back from the suspension, and LeBron was celebrating in the overtime with the Sam Cassell celebration, and I believe that Commissioner Silver took that personally, like, that's at me.
Right.
That's at us. That's like, I'm going to take it out on you because you dared to suspend me.
Right.
And then in the post-game interviews, the one line I think that really got them was, he said, I gave my side of the story, and then they did whatever the F they got to do. Well, when you go F-bomb on whatever the...
We know who they are. Yeah. the NBA at the commissioner's office. Yep.
And he just said, that's enough. So I'm going to publicly reprimand LeBron James for his language. And again, you can accuse me of being an old stick in the mud, but I've told you repeatedly, I have such high regard for LeBron with I Promise and all this social justice warrior campaigning that he's done. Mm-hmm. But just... routinely in interviews, he'll just drop the SH word or the F word. And it's just like, it's just beneath his dignity. Like, you're better. I get it if you're with Maverick and Rich and Shannon. I get it. That's fine. But this is very public. And you are the face. And you are, is he not the number one role model in sports? So how many parents have had to tell their kids, well, okay,
don't say
just
that.
Because LeBron said that,
exactly.
That doesn't mean you can say it at my house. Yeah. How many fathers have had to say, not on my watch?
Well,
you
should be understood. Yep. I mean, my grandfather cursed all the time. Not one time did I think it was okay for me to say what he had said, or my mom or my uncles. You understand that. But for me, Skip, I get it. The NBA is like, look, we're in the entertainment business. We're a family business. And a lot of time, parents bring their kids. I don't want a parent having to explain that gesture. So I don't have a problem with that. And okay, you know, he's taking a shot at the NBA. So, you know, I gave my side of the story.
Yep.
And then they did what the bleep they wanted to do. They are the NBA. Commissioner said, whoa, bro, slow down now. We still the governing body. We still the entity.
But if I know LeBron, he is not going to like either the fine or especially the public reprimand.
He might come out.
He might drop a couple after the game.
They win the game.
He'll be like, watch this.
just because.
Yeah, just because. I agree.
Because I thought they were going to, like, Steph Curry, they gave Steph a T. And then he hit a three-pointer shot. He like, I'm like, oh, come on, Steph. Don't you get a T now. Don't get thrown out.
Yep.
But he was like, oh, T-Lou, you need to get that time out, bro. You need to get that time out.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.